This call is being recorded.
Hello, today is Sunday, February the 9th, 2020. This is John Richardson. I'm speaking to you today from Toronto, Canada, and this is a continuation with my podcast series with the Facebook NCA exam prep group moderator, Vanessa Santagidia. And yesterday we began with a description of her going to the UK from Canada to law school. And we ended that with, well, it's law school said and done, so bye-bye law school and hello, how do I come back to Canada and get admitted to a bar in Canada? So, welcome back, Vanessa. How are you today?
Hi, John. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again today.
All right. Well, this is a continuation of yesterday. So my understanding of this is that basically when you come back, the whole, I guess the first step would be to understand, like how does somebody in general become a licensed lawyer in Canada anyway? How does that work?
So I find, John, a lot of students have approached me and it seems that there is some uncertainty as to becoming qualified in Canada. A lot of students will email me or message me saying, listen, I'm either a foreign trained lawyer trying to practice in Canada. What do I do? What steps do I take? How do I embark on this process? And there's uncertainty around it all. But in fact, the National Committee on Accreditation, the NCA committee, on their website has a fairly straightforward, structured explanation as to how to convert your law degree, how to take the equivalency exams, what's involved. And they outline various paths. So if you're a lawyer trained outside of Canada, or if you're a lawyer with a Canadian civil law degree, they'll have actually specific categories and you can click on them and navigate through the website, and the website will really communicate to you. It's also very user-friendly, FYI, but it will communicate to you what are the steps involved.
Okay, so what is the URL for this website anyway? How do you find it?
It's simply just nca.legal. They have moved their location. So when you Google NCA Law or NCA Legal, you'll be directed to a website and then you just click on a link and it'll bring up their new website. But like I said, it's very, it's user-friendly, it's easy to navigate, and it's very, very informative.
Okay, and that's found at NCA, as in National Committee on Accreditation, nca.legal. That's correct?
Correct.
Okay, now, seems to me that before we get into the whole issue of how does a non-Canadian law school graduate become a lawyer in Canada, I think it might be helpful to explain generally how does a Canadian law school graduate become a lawyer in Canada. So step one would be to go to a Canadian law school and graduate with a Canadian law degree, which I guess would be a JD, and that would be, for the purposes of bar admission in Canada, I guess what would be thought of as a pre-approved law degree. Is that right?
Yes. So if you did your law degree in Canada, then you could just initiate the lawyer licensing process and complete the requirements. We discussed yesterday a little piece of this, but essentially bar requirements will vary from province to province.
Okay. But basically, it's kind of like, as proud as people are to graduate from law school, all that does is gives you the right to enter the separate, independent lawyer licensing process that everybody has to complete. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So Canadian law school graduates are pre-approved to enter into the lawyer licensing process. I gather that graduates of non-Canadian law schools are not pre-approved. They have to do more. Is that correct?
Yes. So if, regardless if you were a Canadian student who went to study abroad, as we discussed yesterday, you went to England, you obtained your law degree from a university there and then returned back home. If you do complete your law degree abroad, you will have to complete the NCA equivalency exams in order to reach that next step in the process, which is the lawyer licensing process.
So this NCA approval puts you on the same level as sort of the pre-approved law degree from a Canadian law school. Is that correct? I believe it's called a certificate of equivalency, isn't it?
Yes. So that is correct. That is correct. The name, it's called...
Certificate of qualification?
Certificate of qualification. Yes, that is correct.
Okay, but that's what it essentially is. It's a certificate from the NCA that says, hey, as far as we're concerned, you have a level of legal education that is equivalent to the pre-approved Canadian law degrees for the purpose of entering the lawyer licensing process. Is that a fair way to put it?
Exactly. Actually, on the actual certificate of qualification, I mean, just for accuracy purposes, it says a certificate of qualification is issued to individuals who demonstrate that their legal education and training is comparable to that provided by an approved faculty of law in Canada.
Okay, so comparable would not mean identical. It just means comparable, I suppose.
Precisely.
Okay, so you graduated from Sussex?
That's right.
You fly back to Canada, you get off a plane, and before you've even picked up your luggage, you're probably thinking, how do I get an NCA certificate of qualification, right?
That's precisely right, John. It's on your mind right away, because even though you just finished law school, you know that there's still a huge journey to embark upon that can be, for some, very overwhelming. It can be daunting, and it can be long. It can be quite long, depending on what is going on in your life. If you are working full-time, if you have a family, then, you know, doing the NCAA exams are an additional obstacle, of course.
Well, it sounds like a not insurmountable, but significant amount of work for probably anybody. So you knock on the door of the NCA.legal site, figuratively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you expect to find? What can pretty much anybody expect to be told they have to do in order to get this certificate of qualification?
So the very first step is you're going to have to complete an application. This is standard for every single person. They're going to have to complete an application wherein the NCA will evaluate your background, your academic background, your legal background. Some people come and they're advocates or lawyers from other countries. They'll take into consideration your full history, your experience, and then they will assign you a number of NCA exams that need to be successfully completed. It does have to be done within a certain amount of time. I believe it's within 5 years. If the 5 years are up, they consider it your degree to be stale, for lack of a better word. And you can ask for an extension, but then you would have to write a letter and move forward in that direction.
So this is 5 years from graduation from the non-Canadian law school. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so you'll have to complete the NCAs, however many they assign to you. And Okay. Just one added point, the fee for this assessment is $350 Canadian plus taxes.
Okay. My impression is that there's a fee for everything, for the assessment, for the courses.
There's a fee for each exam. Yes, for each exam, there is a fee to write the exam. And that assessment is just for the NCA to evaluate you. That is the fee, the $350.
Okay. All right. Now, if this is a certificate of qualification that is comparable to a Canadian law degree, and Canadian law degrees generally, to be approved, have a category of required courses, it would seem to me logical that most people approaching the NCA would have to do exams in those required courses. Is that correct?
So there's a set of five core courses that a vast majority of students have to complete. That would be administrative law, constitutional law, foundations of Canadian law, criminal law, and professional responsibility or ethics. So these five courses are almost always assigned to students who are entering the Canadian legal realm. and want to practice in Canada. However, I have witnessed students who, for instance, if they went to Scotland or Ireland to complete their degree and they did a term in a Canadian school. I have a student who she did a term at York University. And so she was actually able to have a couple of those courses knocked off.
That's very, very interesting. So the strategy there would be, say you go to law school in the UK or somewhere to do an exchange term at a Canadian law school.
Yes, if you wanted to, an exchange term, yes.
That's interesting. I assume that would be a much more popular option for Canadians going overseas than for people from other countries coming to Canada. But is it your impression that a lot of people do that?
Not from what I've witnessed. No, definitely not. And I mean, in terms of the number of courses you get assigned, you could have five, you could have more. It just is dependent on what your background is and also how you perform in law school. So if you, for instance, were to go to England and you did not perform very well in tort in law school, when you return to Canada, you might be assigned that as an additional NCA exam to take. The same applies to evidence or business law. There are a couple of other courses where this is, it's dependent upon your grade that you'll be assigned the NCA exam.
Very interesting. So Canadians anyway who go overseas presumably are well aware of this and are very, very grades conscious as they go through law school?
Actually, surprisingly, I've found that not everybody is aware of that factor. A lot of people also don't know the exact mark that is required to actually bypass having to write that additional exam. So the grade system does work different in the UK, for instance. There is a conversion chart, but it's not even an exact conversion chart. And so a lot of students aren't aware that your marks, of course, everybody wants to do well in law school. That's a given, but they're not aware that not doing quite well can actually be disadvantageous in the fact that you might have to take extra examinations when you transfer back to Canada.
God, that would be a nightmare, I think. I mean, that provides a huge incentive. This is interesting. It may be that we should do a podcast and title it Going to Law School Overseas. Here's what you need to know before you go.
Yes, for sure. That could be very useful for a lot of people because, as I said, some people said to me, I didn't know that I had to perform to a certain level to advance myself when I came back. And some students are allotted double the number of exams. Instead of the five, they might get 10.
Another oh, my God. Tell me how you managed to get 10. I mean, that sounds so horrifying. How do you manage to get 10?
Maybe you went out to the bars a little bit too much during law school and didn't focus too much on the studies component. But it also depends. So, for instance, if you are to do a two-year law degree versus a three-year law degree, you also do have a different number of courses assigned as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all dependent on factors like that. And some of these extra courses, they're considered electives. They're either mandatory electives or optional. You can choose amongst a variety of them. Some of them include, for instance, property, taxation law, family law, contracts, commercial, civil procedure. These are some of the extra courses.
See, now this is interesting because what you're describing is a system of core courses that are fundamentally in the public law area. There's huge overlap among a constitutional, administrative, criminal, this sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these extra ones are all, private law based, things like contracts or family law or, this sort of stuff. So that's quite interesting to me.
It is interesting, John. And also, for instance, those five courses that are the core courses, they are uniform NCA exams. And when I say that, I mean that, for instance,
same exam wherever you are in the country.
Yeah, there's four versions of it. There are various versions, but the civil procedure, if you're in Alberta, they have an Alberta civil procedure exam. Ontario family law, they have Alberta, BC, and Ontario, right? So they are specific to the province.
Interesting. And do a lot of people, I'm just curious, do a lot of people get assigned taxation? I mean, that sounds to me like an absolute nightmare.
From my experience, no. It is one of the courses that people voluntarily elect. So if they're given an option, the NCA might say you can choose amongst this and that, like taxation, remedies, and property. Or it might be that you have the option to choose any of the electives. If someone is interested in that field of law, then it definitely they might want to pursue that exam and take that exam instead to get a head start.
Hmm. Okay, so to sort of summarize, in looking at the factors that the NCA evaluators consider, so let's go through these slowly. The first would be obviously what country you went to law school in, correct? In other words, there's a huge difference between somebody coming from a common law jurisdiction like England and South Africa, hybrid jurisdiction. South Africa, hybrid jurisdiction.
South Africa, from my understanding, it's a mixed legal system, a hybrid of Dutch, Roman, right. Dutch civilian law and
All English right. common so, law. Yeah, so that would be the first thing. Where are you going, coming, what country are you coming from? Do they consider the law school you went to?
They will consider your pre-law university transcript. So not only what law school you went to, but your university that you attended, like for your undergrad or other degrees you did as well. They will consider your transcript from your legal education. So the law school you went to, all these things will be considered. And also your education and work experience by and large.
So say somebody graduates from law school in India and practices law for 5 years, the fact of practicing, of course, that's 5 years out, isn't it? But the fact of practicing for some period of time afterwards would be a positive factor, I guess. Is that right?
Yes, it would be viewed favorably. It would be viewed in a positive light, and it could essentially, and I would imagine, have perhaps maybe that you would have to take less examinations. If you are a lawyer, though, the NCAs will want to see a certificate of good standing from the Bar Association or Bar Council from the country and region you're from.
Okay, so basically, almost everybody is assigned those five core courses at a minimum.
Yes. Yeah, for the most part. Like I said, there are exceptions, but there's a lot of students who come and who've approached me, and even before they've been assigned the exams, they say, I want to start studying and I know that I'm going to get the core courses. And of course, as expected, they do.
Okay. And then depending on grades or other deficiencies, they can expect to be assigned additional odds and ends of courses.
Precisely. That is absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm aware, for example, that Osgoode Hall Law School has an LLM in common law. Is that, say somebody does that automatically result in the satisfaction of the NCA requirements?
So it essentially, like the short answer is yes. A lot of people will come back. I actually considered that as an option. And I know a handful of my friends from law school came back, and instead of doing the NCAs, they want to do an LLM. I've worked with professionals and I've worked for lawyers who they also took that route. It really just depends. Firstly, you have to look at the pros and cons. It is going to be an additional cost that's much more exorbitant than just doing the NCAs.
Right. Of course. But it's quicker. It's 1 year.
Not necessarily, because if you're allotted five NCA exams, you can do them in 1 week and technically study just for a month. So it's actually faster to do the NCAs. So I, for instance, did four in one sitting in one one go, and I studied for a couple months. And so if you, it just depends on the path you want to take. But in LLM, of course, you're going to school. If you have a family and you have to manage other priorities and responsibilities in your life, it might not be fitting or suitable. Whereas the NCAs, if you were working full time, you could say to yourself, okay, I'm going to spend the year doing my NCAs, but I have the flexibility to work full time. I'm doing one exam every 3 months or whenever it's offered. So you just look at the pros and cons. At the end of the day, also in LLM, you're being granted a master's in law, and you might have an employer who recognizes that and values that additional degree. And so that might impact, where you work, where you get hired. These are all things that are worth taking into consideration.
Now, my impression is that there's two or three law schools in Canada that offer this common law LLM. I know that Osgoode does, because I live in Toronto, I know that Osgoode does, but there are a couple of other ones, I believe. Do you know what those might be?
So I actually, I only know of the Osgoode one in Ontario. I don't know of other ones specifically in Ontario. I know that I think the University of Toronto does too. Sorry, University of Toronto, Osgoode, and Queen's University.
Okay. Well, this must be a growing market and then you have some that are outside in other provinces. Must be a growing market if you've got these law schools that are entering into this.
Oh, yes, for sure. And also, Laurier introduced a new program. I think it's as of the last, I would say, couple years. It's you can do with Laurier a law degree. It's a split degree in the UK and in I think they have a campus in Toronto, but they work with the University of Sussex. They've partnered, so to speak, and you can earn your LLB and BA from Laurier and from the University of Sussex in 6 years.
That is very, very interesting. That's a very creative marketing endeavor, I suppose, by Sussex. Well, I guess, and Laurier as well.
Yeah, they signed an agreement, and I think it was 2015, so 5 years ago, and this is when. And from my understanding, they're the first to do something like this, where they partnered with a UK university in this way, and you can actually study here and then go abroad to Sussex and earn your law degree and MBA, right?
It's really quite amazing. So it seems to me that it's reached the point where somebody in Canada who wants to become a lawyer can legitimately consider going to law school in Canada or outside of Canada,
mm-hmm.
and arrive at basically the same point. Is that how people see it?
Well, what I think this program does is, first of all, typically you have to spend about 7 years to get a law degree in Canada, if you don't go abroad, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they reduce it by a year. So this special program that's offered at Laurier, it's 6 years instead. So you are saving a year.
But you have to do the NCA thing, don't you?
So the thing is that I believe the way it works, I'm not sure if you have to do the full NCAs. You have to do, so there might be a couple courses that you can get knocked off. It might be less than the 5 core courses. But the thing is that at Laurier, in the final year, they prep you to write the NCAs. So they also have enriched or embedded within the program, almost like these prep courses that some students go take at York University and Osgoode. Like students abroad will come to Canada and take these prep courses just to write the NCAA exams.
Right.
So
this sounds like what Bond University was doing. Essentially building into their law school curriculum courses to prep people for the NCA.
Yes, it is. It is on a similar gear.
Oh, that is incredibly interesting. So what we now have is basically a UK law school in Canada, which is understood to be a design for the purpose of helping people become lawyers in Canada, right?
Yes. And I guess, at the same time, it's what makes it creative as well, is that in one go, so to speak, you're receiving two degrees from two universities within that 6-year period, which is something that you can't really do if you take other paths or routes. And you have the opportunity to live and study abroad, become immersed in another culture. And I think that it really does obviously mature students, and it encourages a great career choice and opportunity.
Well, you know, you mentioned the fact of the joint degree. I have always been, rightly or wrongly, a very strong advocate for, you know, people who go to Canadian law schools to get joint law degrees. You know, I think that these joint U.S.-Canada law degrees are very, very helpful. You know, are helpful. I mean, I think you have little downside to them, and they give a lifetime benefit. I mean, I think there's at least three. The University of Ottawa has one, which is a 4-year one. I think the University of Detroit and Windsor have one, which is a 3-year, a dual JD. And, you know, and then there's some other schools in Western Canada that have these things. And I think that these are really, really good ways to leverage the time you're spending in law school anyway, into further opportunities. But I can see now that what this really tells me, you know, when I hear this about this Laurier program, is that there's no doubt that it is understood that a perfectly viable way of becoming a lawyer in Canada is to go to law school outside of Canada.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. Yes.
So tell me about these five exams. How long? What, tell me about an NCA exam. How long do they last?
They're 3 hours in duration, and they basically, I mean, there's four versions, like I said. So for the five core courses, you have four different versions, A, B, C, or D. They all, I guess, must be comparable because, of course, like for fairness purposes. But and they test you on, there's syllabuses on their website, and the NCA will say, they'll list and outline in detail, these are the testable areas, this is what to concern yourself with. So for criminal law, it'll discuss, these are the offenses you need to know, these are the defenses you need to know about procedure in criminal law. And essentially, students will purchase recommended textbooks, or they'll purchase notes, and notes are typically formulated by, you know, experienced individuals who have gone through the process and who know about the material and have studied and done their research. And they'll formulate notes that cover the syllabus, the syllabi. And students should really do their best to absorb as much as they can about the whole process. And from a material standpoint, I believe that doing more research is better, knowing more is better, because you never know what you'll be tested on these exams. It's really, in essence, a small amount of time to cover a wide basis of material.
Mm-hmm. And these exams are primarily essay based?
They are a mixture of problem take questions, case study questions, essays. In criminal law, for instance, they'll ask, maybe they'll give you a scenario, a fact-based scenario. You know, Richard does this or steals a car, and he's with, and they'll give you all the facts, and then they might ask you questions. What offense has he committed? Does he have any defenses? You know, was there a breach of a charter right involved in this scenario?
Okay, very, very interesting. All right. Well, you know, I think that this has been another very, very interesting module. And I think maybe we'll stop here for today and come back perhaps next time with, so you got your certificate from the NCA. What then? What do you do with it in terms of articling and things like that? Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, that makes a lot of sense. And there's a whole variety of questions surrounding that area as well.
I bet there are. Okay, well, listen, Vanessa, thank you so, so much for taking time out of your Sunday today. And I look forward to picking up this, we'll call this Becoming a Lawyer in Canada Odyssey very, very soon. So thank you very, very much.
Awesome, John. Thank you so much. I'm honored to have been here today.
And you, great information. Okay.